Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The European Commission President has called for emergency intervention in the electricity market to bring down soaring prices. Ursula von der Leyen also said that the electricity market is no longer fit for purpose. It comes ahead of an extraordinary meeting of energy ministers, which is scheduled to take place on the 9th of September. For more on this, I'm joined by Dr. Muireann Lynch, Senior Research Officer with the ESRI, and Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP for Ireland South. Good morning to you both. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Lynch, to start with you, when Ursula von der Leyen says that the market is no longer fit for purpose, is she right?
I think the electricity market certainly needs to be reformed for numerous reasons. However, I wouldn't necessarily see the fact that electricity prices are rising in response to rising gas price as being indicative of the need for reform. I think electricity markets in Europe were designed based on fossil fuel power generation in general, and also based on the idea that as long as we have enough interconnection between countries, that'll sort out all of our problems. Neither of those things really hold going into a high renewable future. So electricity market design should certainly be on the agenda. However, I think perhaps the reasons for this particular look at electricity market reform are a little bit short-sighted.
Okay, so gas, when it's used to produce electricity, those companies who are not using gas to produce electricity, they're doing very well, aren't they, off the back of what's happening with prices?
They certainly are. What's happening at the moment is, if you can kind of think of an analogy, if the price of potatoes goes up, then the price of chips is going to need to go up as well, because you need to use potatoes to make your chips. So if the price of gas goes up, then the price of electricity generated by gas needs to go up. The problem is, if you're an electricity generator who doesn't use gas, then your costs haven't necessarily gone up that much, particularly if you're a coal or indeed a renewable generator. But the price that you're getting has gone way up. And I think that's what people are looking at. They're seeing coal generators, renewable generators, making bumper profits, windfall profits even. And they kind of think, oh, we'd better redesign the market. The problem is, there could be an awful lot of unintended consequences to that. For example, it could push people away from gas generation. But gas is actually the cleanest fossil fuel that we have. And we're not in a position yet where we can rely 100% on renewables. So we'd want to be very careful of anything that would maybe lead people to invest more in coal generation than gas generation.
Okay, but it would also force investment in renewables.
Yes and no. I mean, it might give a kind of an extra incentive to invest in renewables, but we don't have enough interconnection and enough technical backup on the system in order to be able to operate on those really high levels of renewables. So for that reason, we still need fossil fuel on the system. We need enough fossil fuel power plants to cover our peak demand in the event that there's no renewables. So extra investment in renewables, it's a good thing in general, but from a system security perspective and indeed from a pricing perspective, it's not necessarily going to cut the mustard.
Okay, Billy Kelleher, what do you think Ursula von der Leyen is talking about when she mentions this emergency intervention in the electricity market? What can she do?
Well, it's exactly that. It's an emergency intervention. I mean, we're facing a situation where electricity prices have gone up 14-fold, gas prices alone 10-fold. So, I mean, there is a fundamental problem that if we don't do something, companies will start going broke, will enter into recession, vulnerable households simply will not be able to pay electricity bills. So I think what they're talking about is probably a decoupling of gas being the benchmark for the electricity generation costs, and also potentially moving to a cap as well on gas prices at the wholesale level in the short and medium term. And what we're talking about is the short term. This winter into early next year is going to be a significant challenge. Regardless of what happens with Ukraine now, a lot of the prices are built in, so there's significant challenges. Obviously, and the European Commission was talking about, you know, restructuring the electricity market long before the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. So there does need to be a review of that. We need greater interconnectivity between all countries in the European Union. The more renewable energy we generate, we become also dependent on gas for the times that we don't have capacity in renewables because of poor wind, lack of solar or whatever. So there is a need to reform long-term how we structure our electricity market. But in the short term, we need to decouple, and we certainly will have to look at potential caps on gas wholesale prices.
But you heard Dr. Muireann Lynch about the unintended consequences of doing that.
Well, there's lots of unintended consequences. There was an unintended consequence in view of the fact that we didn't assume Russia would ever invade Ukraine. We always assumed that gas would be the cheapest benchmark in terms of electricity generation. The purpose of the previous market was to incentivize and make sure that renewables could generate a profit. That's why the market is structured as it is. That is no longer the case. Gas is so expensive at the moment that electricity prices are exponentially increasing on a daily, weekly basis. So if we continue as is without doing anything, Putin and Russia effectively have a gun to the European economy's head. So we do have to not only wean ourselves off Russian gas, but put in place a system that controls the price of gas in the short term. And we are talking about the short term. Longer term, we have to look at the review of the market.
Yeah, that's another question, whether it would be short term. Mirren, what do you say to Billy's argument that something has to happen?
I mean, it's certainly true that an emergency intervention is viewed differently by investors to a long-term redesign of the market. So, you know, it's one thing if you kind of say this is a one-off emergency measure, there's no analysis behind it, we just feel we have to do something. Investors will react differently to that, to a long-term change. However, I am concerned even about one-off emergency interventions in a market that is A, as important as electricity, and B, as costly as electricity. These are big, big investments that last decades. And there are huge costs to getting it wrong. So, for example, if we do want to put a cap on gas prices, what that would do is it would mean that we have to find some other way of making those gas generators whole, because obviously they still face the cost of procuring gas at very high prices, and now there's a cap on the price at which they can sell on their electricity. So then, while that might put downward pressure on electricity on electricity bills, which is great, then we have to stump up some other way in order to make sure that those gas generators don't go bust. So there are no easy options here, and it's always difficult to redesign things last minute in a crisis. So I suppose my recommendation would be whatever interventions you have, certainly keep them emergency and temporary, but be very cognizant of the long-run implications, even of a temporary emergency intervention.
You see, the problem with a temporary short-term intervention, that can be very hard to unwind if the situation hasn't changed. And there are many who would have expected the war in Ukraine to have reached a different phase, and after 6 months, it hasn't. So can we rely on things changing in the short term we're in?
Yeah, exactly. Those are the very concerns I would have. And in the end of the day, what we're really concerned about is households and businesses who are really struggling to meet their energy bills. And it might be better to consider whether there are other ways to enable households and businesses to meet their energy bills without incurring the long-term consequences of messing around with electricity markets, which do need reform, absolutely. But we need to reform on the basis of the long run rather than the short run.
So are you talking about governments and perhaps at a European level, some sort of subvention and extension of the grant scheme that we saw here earlier in the year?
Yeah, certainly. There are an awful lot of levers available, and the European Commission has published recommendations and guidelines on different interventions that governments can make in order to ease the hardship that families and businesses are facing right now. I think we could do even more. I think we need to think outside the box a bit. But I think whatever we do, we need to make sure that it doesn't necessarily mess up investment signals, which would either threaten security or threaten the decarbonisation agenda in the long run.
Billy, what do you say?
Well, what I'm saying very clearly is that electricity prices have gone up exponentially in the last number of months. Wind energy, for example, is now a very profitable business, even though the cost of wind is the same as it was before the invasion, because gas is what benchmarks electricity prices across Europe. And we just simply have to break that link in the short term. Otherwise, the economies across Europe will simply stagnate and fall into recession. And Mirren talks about interventions. I mean, Spain alone will spend $7 billion. And they have free sun and quite a substantial amount of wind energy, $7 billion subventing electricity prices this year alone. It is not sustainable for member states across the European Union to subvent electricity prices when the wholesale market is completely out of control. Wind energy companies are making massive profits. Solar companies are making massive profits. And others that do not use gas to generate electricity. So we do have to break that link. It simply can't be gas setting the price of electricity for wind energy, for solar energy, and for all the other energies that don't use gas.
Okay, Muireann, thank you very much. I'm going to let you go now. But Billy, I've something else to ask you, because yesterday you said you believe that the time is right now for our government here to support a targeted ban on visas for Russians entering the European Union. The starting point, though, in our whole response was that we didn't want to punish ordinary Russians. That's where we began with all of this. People who don't support the invasion of Ukraine. Why is it that you want to punish those people?
Well, I don't think I'm punishing, but what I'm saying very clearly is that the entire Russian Federation is involved in some way or another through the process of having 160,000 troops inside in Ukraine killing citizens as I speak to you on the phone. So that's the starting point.
Yeah, but not every citizen in Russia will support that.
But if we're talking about targeted sanctions on Putin's cronies, we're talking about targeted sanctions on the economy. But at the same time, we have thousands of Russians, down in Marbella and Monaco, across Europe at the moment, rubbing sun cream to their backs. And at the same time, we've Ukrainians running down stairwells night after night in Kiev and in Kherson, right across Ukraine, running from Russian missiles. So at some stage, pressure has to be brought to bear through the concerns of the Russian public to reflect that the war is not acceptable and to put pressure on Putin. That is the
But you're going to
but
stop you're
time,
going to stop an ordinary Russian citizen who doesn't agree with what Putin is doing from coming to Ireland to perhaps take a job here and start a new life here away from him and the oligarchs who are rubbing the sun cream in their backs.
Well, no, what I said very clearly was that, in for people who are leaving Russia, who have criticised Putin for family reunification, for medical purposes, but the general way that Russians can rock up to borders across Europe and come in, I think is, diminishing what is happening to Ukrainian citizens night after night in air raid shelters across Ukraine. That has to stop, in my view. And I think that would bring pressure on Putin's regime, because it would affect Russian people, and they'd say, well, what's all this about? And they would start asking questions of their leadership. It's a dangerous thing to do in Russia, asking questions, but we have to put some pressure on.
Simon Coveney has been speaking about this in the last few minutes, as reported by our colleague Tony Connolly, and the Minister for Foreign Affairs says that because of the common travel area, Ireland would need to speak to the UK if any decision was made that would reduce Russian citizens' access to Ireland. And he said that Ireland is in an unusual space here over whether or not to ban Russian tourists from the Schengen area because of Russia's invasion in Ukraine. Did you consider that?
Oh, yes, I did. I considered that. And that's why we should be speaking to the UK as well. As a government that has a common travel area with the United Kingdom, we should be speaking to the UK, asking them to also consider, and that we should work jointly with the European Union, with the Schengen area and the UK to ensure that this is enacted. We simply have to move on this. Otherwise, we are turning a blind eye to the fact that Ukrainian citizens on a daily basis don't have the luxuries that Russians have of heading to Europe on holidays.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP, thank you for joining us on the line.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.